Shall we open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3? We'll continue our study. I do have a handout. Jacob, could you hand these out for me? An outline in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Thank you. We're looking at the value and blessings of wisdom this morning. This is one of those classic sections in the book of Proverbs. And then in time, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of Proverbs, the very specifics of wisdom, which is most of the book. Proverbs chapter 3, 13, this morning. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Pastor Galt, would you lead us in prayer? I pray for Paul Perrone's stepbrother, who's maybe close to passing on, and God's blessing and comfort there. Proverbs chapter 3, we see wisdom in its value here, and we're going to see more of this too as we go through the book of Proverbs. Now, the outline that I gave you maybe needs a little explanation. When I have something underlined and then something in parenthesis under it, that's more close to the Hebrew translation, the actual meaning of the verse. And so it's only underlined in certain places there. Now, I don't have verses. You can fill it in if you like, and because there are many verses on this subject. Happy means blessed. Blessed is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Blessed, it's a deeper thought than happy. It doesn't exclude what we normally think of as happy, but it's deeper than that. There's a blessedness in one who has found wisdom. That is the thought, not just findeth. He's not just in the process here. This is one who has obtained wisdom and the man who has gained understanding. And, of course, we know God is the one who gives wisdom. Now, very important, Jesus Christ is wisdom personified. You may recall as we talked about the subject of wisdom initially. We'll see it in Proverbs chapter 8 especially, that the Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom. And wisdom, of course, is knowledge applied, but it involves the knowledge of God, a personal, heart, full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it says, blessed is the man who's found wisdom, you could put it this way. Blessed is the man who has found a deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it does, of course, involve one's walk, too, as we've seen. Because if a person knows the Lord, they're going to be walking with the Lord. Now, I want to have a little bit of a review. This book is actually accumulative. You know, that's true in any area. If you study math, you build, right? You get your basic elements, and you build on that. You just don't start with calculus. And so that's true with wisdom in this particular book. Now, not that we can review everything, but I want to review one particular area, and that is the obtaining of wisdom. Now, we've had about a dozen handouts, and I don't know, I should have passed out folders maybe, maybe I'll do that yet if you want to compile these. But there are requirements to obtain wisdom was one of those handouts. And let me review these because we're talking about the one who has found it. Well, still, how does one find it? How do you obtain wisdom? And we saw, and this was somewhat of an overview, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, back in Proverbs 1:7. And actually, we did a study just on that. And the fear of the Lord is a reverential trust. And that involves several things. But that's the foundation. That is foundational to wisdom. Where a person trusts the Lord, they realize who He is, and it involves the knowledge of God. So that's number one, to obtain wisdom. And you could equate that to salvation itself. That's when it starts. A person can have all the intellect possible and umpteen degrees and obtain much learning, but it doesn't mean they have wisdom from God. Wisdom from God is that which is given by faith, and it's given through the Scriptures, and it's given on the basis of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important to see the requirements here. So the fear of the Lord is the first thing. Now, something else that was very important is the diligent seeking of wisdom. And let's go back on this one, and I'll read in Proverbs chapter 2, in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, now there's an important point included in this thought of seeking. There's a reception of his words. And hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, notice the parallel, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so there's an effort, isn't there? Can you expect, now I'm speaking as to Christians, can we expect to grow in this wisdom, to grow in our relationship with the Lord and fulfillment of what He expects in life if there's not a diligent seeking of it? There's no easy way on this. It's not some instant formula. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Meditate in the Word of God day and night. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, Jesus said. Paul said. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will. So there's an effort put forth here, and that includes a daily devotion. For instance, please go to Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting the posts of my doors. We've got to always be having an open ear to what God has to tell us in His Word. Daily. So it's very specific in the Bible. I heard the tape. Pastor Galt had a good message Wednesday, on which I appreciate, on the Word of God, studying the Word of God. There's no substitute for daily devotional time in the Word of God. So that's the second point. Fear of the Lord, a diligent seeking. And then we saw faith back in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So faith is at the root of this, too, to obtain wisdom. Now, there's something underlying that thought, and that is that we don't have wisdom, and we need wisdom from God. And we can trust His wisdom, which transcends human wisdom. That's essential. And understanding, Paul in 1 Corinthians makes a distinction between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. Man, by his wisdom, crucified the Lord of glory. That's how much wisdom he has. Well, God, in his wisdom, he's provided salvation. It's amazing what God has done and what he will do. So there's a trusting in the Lord, even in the, not just in the doctrinal, theological sense, but in the practical daily walk also, where we don't have the wisdom. God has. It's not in man to direct his steps. We need to have guidance from above. He sees the end from the beginning. And so faith. And then with that, the next verse, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So there's a self-distrust that's so important to obtain wisdom. I'm just going to touch on these. There's other verses. And there is a remaining to be teachable to the end. Now that's very important. Let me turn to this one. Proverbs 9:9. This goes along with this self-distrust. If we get complacent or think we've arrived, then we cease to grow. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So we grow in grace. We don't arrive. We can live 100 years. It doesn't matter. And Pastor Black, I know he was a man given over to devotion with the Lord. Always impressed me. You can tell a lot about a missionary when they're in your home he would have his times in the morning. He'd be getting some quiet place. He'd be in the Bible. You never cease to grow, right, as a Christian. And so, but there's that remaining teachable and trusting the Lord, not trusting ourselves. Now, another essential requirement to obtain wisdom is departure from evil. It's in the same verse, Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. Sin blinds us. And if we condone sin, that's when we're in trouble. And there is a carnal blinding, Ephesians 4. The unsaved are blinded by sin, but the Christian can be blinded by sin. It has a deluding effect. And therefore, we've got to stay clean, stay clear from it, and that puts us in an eligible position to receive wisdom, to obtain wisdom. Now, last time we saw we're to be open to chastening. Doesn't put it quite in that way, but that's the inference. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth, verses 11 and 12. So it's part of the Christian life, isn't it? We have a heavenly Father. He disciplines us, and so we want to be open to his instruction, open to his reproof. And it's love, because he's conforming us to the image of his son, and as he works with us, we saw that. We want to yield to him, submit to him. We want to not despise it, don't look down on it, but we want to get all that God is giving to us in his instruction of wisdom. So it's part of the obtaining of wisdom. And then finally, the last point to obtain wisdom is actually this section here. And that is the value, to value it enough to pay the price. In other words, to realize this is what I want. And, you know, generally, a person, everybody has goals. Hopefully they have some goal, right? And what you seek is what you're most likely going to obtain. Well, if this is a goal to obtain wisdom, then we're going to obtain it. But there's a valuing of it that motivates the seeking. Now, that's what the value of this particular section is, where we see the value and the blessings of wisdom. I wanted to give that review, though, because we're looking at one who has obtained it. Blessed is the man who has found wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. Now, this understanding is understanding drawn from God, derived from God. And now we've seen this. The wisdom is that which is given by God as a result of these seeking requirements. Now let's go on in verse 14. There's a purchase involved. In verse 14, it says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now you notice a rendering, and these are from Kyle and Dealage. Better is her acquisition than the acquisition of silver, and her gain than fine gold. In other words, you're acquiring this, you are obtaining this, and it's a better quality of that which is obtained than any material wealth, is the thought. There's a comparison involved here. So in the word merchandise, there's trade and the wealth it brings involved. There's a purchase price. There's an exchange, in other words. So if a person sees the value of it, they're going to make a trade. I want to give an illustration, well, a Bible illustration. Matthew 13, if you'll go there with me. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, he sees it. Okay, this is something very valuable. This is, compare this to an investor. He sees something that has great value. Okay, he's going to put all his eggs in that one basket. Well, that's the thought with wisdom. That's where you see, here's something of great value. I'm going to make a trade. Now, what would the trade be? It might be the putting aside of other goals that you have in life. It might be, and definitely would be, the use of time to seek the Lord in the Word and prayer, to try to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It certainly would be to choose the righteous path and to refuse sin. There's a price to pay, isn't there? And let's go to Proverbs 23:23. 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, notice that. That's a very revealing passage. 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, there's a price to pay. What are we willing to put into it? You're going to get out of it what you put into it. God sees every moment that's spent in His Word. He sees every moment that's spent in prayer. Also, not just the time spent, but He sees the seeking heart. He knows if a person really wants it. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. Ask, it shall be given. And that's present tense imperative. You seek and keep on seeking. And it's a constant effort, isn't it? Again, you don't arrive in the sense of God is perfect and we're pressing toward the mark, but there's an effort, and there's a valuing of this, and the effort that'll go with it when we really value this wisdom. Now, while we're on that thought, let's go to a couple other illustrations in the Scriptures. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10:38. Here's a story, a true incident here. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now what should she choose? To sit at Jesus' feet and to hear his word. And so she was serving, but she took the time. She made it a priority. She has chosen this one needful thing. So we will have it if we choose it. You know, you can always have other things to do, right? We have other responsibilities, and the timetable gets limited, doesn't it? Well, if it's a priority, though, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, these other things will be added. So there's a buying the truth. There's an exchange for this merchandise in order to acquire it. And I believe God will make a way for the other things when he has the preeminence. Now here's another illustration, to put in a different way. Hebrews 11:25. This is Moses. Okay, Moses, you know, had the training of godly parents, and by faith they realized God's hand was on Moses. And so he was in Pharaoh's court, and he was even next in line for the throne, certainly had all earthly riches available to him. But he made a choice here. Moses, in Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, made a choice, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so he made a choice. Why? Because he valued that direction. He valued identification with the Lord and with his people. And really, you could compare that. That was a path of wisdom, for sure. But by faith, he did that. Now, that's the point of Hebrews. And not everybody sees this. If a person doesn't have faith, they don't value wisdom, right? Remember? That's at the foundation of it, to obtain wisdom, reverential trust. And trusting in the Lord. So, and the unsaved certainly don't see it. To the unsaved, these things are words. You know, they don't hit the heart. There's not any meaning. To a Christian, now we know that these things are true. But let me qualify that. Because Paul does in 1 Corinthians 2. He gives three categories, doesn't he? the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. That's the unregenerate. He's not been born of God. He can't understand or appreciate the Bible. He can't appreciate wisdom. Then there's the spiritual man. He discerns all things. And then there's the carnal man. He can't hear the word. He doesn't have capacity. He could be a Christian, right? All unsaved are carnal, but it's possible for a Christian to be carnal. And therefore, there's not the valuing of wisdom. And you know, the problem is something else gets in the eye, right? I found that as a pastor. Generally, there's something else that gets in the way from a person seeing the things of wisdom, seeing Christ and valuing the things of Him. But if He gets in view, in other words, and we see what we're going to see here in Proverbs, the great value of wisdom, then you're willing to sell everything, right? In the sense of you're willing to put everything else second in comparison to Christ and your relationship with Him. Well, let's go back now. I'll stick more with the context, but I wanted to bring those Bible illustrations of this truth because there is an acquisition here. There is a purchase price, an exchange that's involved. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof than fine gold. Now, it's comparing that which is considered precious. You know, today they say, well, if you want to have a safe investment, invest in gold. That may be. I'm not going to give any advice on that. But materially, got something better than gold for you. Here it is. This is a safe investment. And so this is something that, now we're looking at the Word of God. This is His revelation. And you know, as Christians, it's good. It's, you know, the dividends that are paid, the interest. You want something with high interest? The interest that will come from this investment, higher than anything in this world. And The bank won't break. There's nothing that will corrupt it. The value of it won't go down, you know. So this is a worthwhile investment. Let's go to Psalm 19:10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Now, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. In other words, the Word of God, the truth of God, certainly it could apply, does apply to the wisdom of God. Let's go to Psalm 119:72. Again, this is all about the Word of God, this psalm. 119, as well as Psalm 19, the latter half. 119:72. The law of thy mouth is better than unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And let's go to verse 127, same chapter. 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And David, if he is the one that wrote this, he had a lot of it, but what he thought about that. He put that into the temple, but he valued the word more than material. Well, let's go to the book of Job, chapter 28. Job had everything stripped away, didn't he? But he knew what was truly valuable. You know, someday we all have everything stripped away, don't we? As we pass through this life and out of this life. And in Job 28:12, says, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Now Job had no doubt had all of that. He's the wealthiest man of the East. But he knew the value of wisdom above all of that. And in fact, it met his need during this time, didn't it? And now let's go to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10. Proverbs 8, a very important section here. This is wisdom personified, of course, who is Christ. We know that from Colossians 2. In Christ is found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 8:10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So over and over again, you have this emphasis that wisdom is more valuable than the most valuable things upon this earth. Now, verse 15 back in Proverbs chapter 3 speaks not just of silver and gold, but that which is precious here as rubies and jewels. And verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Now, I didn't mention, I want to touch on this. In the Hebrew, that word for gold isn't just molten gold, but that which is dug out. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, but sometimes out of the earth they'll dig, it's like a crystal and precious stones, and there'll be clusters of gold in it, and they take that in its original form. And that is, what's the term for that? Invaluable. In other words, because of its nature, the way that is, and that seems to be, it seems that that is what it's talking about here. This is just in its purest form. You know, it's brought out of the earth, and there are people that have those treasures like that, and they're way, way above the normal value because of how they're found. And then the rubies here, actually it's a Hebrew meaning of red corals, and not as we think of them, though. These are very precious, and all the jewels, all thy jewels are not equal to her. So you have the meaning of the word here, it's generalized in practice. Pearls, precious stones, carbuncle, sardius, sapphire, they're all referring to under this category of jewels, very precious. And you might recall, who was that? The queen that came to visit Solomon, Queen of Sheba? And she brought the very valuable things. And so, there are people that are wealthy that go beyond what you and I know about. And that's the type of wealth we're talking about here. It goes beyond what we can grasp. Well, even that high level of wealth doesn't compare to wisdom. That's what he's saying here. Now, I want to touch on one other passage in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Now, you notice how he brings out the contrast here, the value of wisdom. And it doesn't say, now, value wisdom. He doesn't give that application, but it's very obvious that that's what he's getting at. In other words, you want to realize how valuable this wisdom is. And how do you know if a person values wisdom? I think there's certain ways you can know. And this section brings it out. In Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now notice this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now that's a private thing, would you say, a matter of the heart. But what you are meditating on, that's what's valuable to you. Let me read on. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Now here you come down to it. And this, of course, is instruction for who? His disciples. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That would be, it's impossible to go two ways. That's like having a foot in two boats. You know, you're going to go one way or the other. And so, but if a person's heart is set on the Lord, who is wisdom, then there's the single eye, and the body's full of light. But if the heart's going out in another direction, then somehow it's like the hymn, the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of thy glory and grace. If the eye is on the Lord, somehow his beauty and his glory and the value of wisdom in its transcendence, it eclipses the other things. But if the glitter of the world and its pleasures of sin for a season, and if these things captivate the eye, somehow wisdom doesn't seem to have any value. Of course, that's a very short-sighted viewpoint. It's a viewpoint of unbelief. It's a carnal viewpoint. So, what do we value? That's the bottom line on this. We see, stated in Revelation, that this is highly valuable. How much do we value it? There's the obvious application. Well, you can tell. You can tell, actually, more than just the focus of the heart, you can tell by the direction of the life. Where do we spend our time? And what are we actually seeking for? Okay, let's go on. Now, in this next section, you have the blessings of wisdom. We don't have quite as much time for this one, but notice back in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 16, length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now, in a sense, this explains why wisdom is valuable, but it's referring to specific blessings that wisdom gives. And to break it down, you have outward blessings and you have inward blessings. And actually, we do want both, don't we? We do want to have outward blessings. We especially do want inward blessings. Now, the outward blessings would be length of days, as in her right hand. A person lives long. And that's a blessing from God, no question about that. You have that in other places. Psalm 91 talks about that. So as a general principle, a person who has wisdom is going to live longer. Now, I know there are exceptions to the rule. You have the godly David Brainerd, you know, and there's others who died young according to God's will. But here you have a general principle. Now you can looking back on wisdom, in fact, as we're going to see through the book of Proverbs, if you follow the path of wisdom, it's a safer path. It is a healthier path, isn't it? It is a path, as we're going to see, that has peace. You know, stress is a killer. And so it's going to add to days. Length of days is in her right hand. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Now let's go to Proverbs 8:18 on this one. 8:18. Riches and honor are with me, wisdom speaking. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. So not just physical riches is he referring to. Now it may merit making a distinction between Israel and the church on this one, because you do have some dispensational distinctions. Israel most definitely is promised material prosperity. And even to this day, even though they're far from God, they seem to have that quality, that characteristic about them. And the promise given to us isn't necessarily along that line, although there are some circles of Christians who will teach that. Well, I think that that's because they don't see dispensational distinctions between Israel and the church. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall meet all your needs according to his riches and glory." Now, that's a definite promise that he will meet our needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And it may be, and some Christians are entrusted with wealth, and probably those who can have the wisdom to use it. But in every good gift and every perfect gift, it comes down from above. So it's not that wealth is evil. You know, it doesn't say that. And I'm not saying that in a dispensational distinction here. If it is given, it's from God. But length of days, and it's in her right hand, and her left, riches and honor. Now, that's outward blessing. And then you have inward blessing. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Now, this is very great. God gives a pleasantness in life, and a quote here, wisdom brings well-being on all sides and deep inward satisfaction, peace. That's from Carolyn Dulwich. And there's outward blessings, but then there's the inward blessing, and that's what we so desire above everything else. You can have everything else. Ecclesiastes talks about this. You can have all kinds of wealth and so forth, and there is a curse, and that is where you wouldn't have the power to enjoy it. And I think there are a lot of people that way. They maybe get to the top, sometimes not righteously too, and they don't have any power to enjoy it. They don't enjoy it. Why? Because they don't have peace with God and the peace of God. Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. So this is there's a higher blessing of the quality of a spiritual life that wisdom will give. Now let's go to Psalm 16, verse 11. This is a heavenly thing. We had a good Bible conference over East. And you know how that is when you hear a lot of the Bible. They had 7 messages a day. It's a lot of Bible. Starting in the morning, going till night. And it's such a wonderful thing to be occupied with the things of God. And because you have those promises before you. And it has that elevating effect of, ooh, this is what's valuable. This is what's meaningful. You know, this is the truth. But it'll do that for us, won't it? As we're in the Word and we're seeing wisdom, and there's definitely a pleasantness and a peace that comes with valuing wisdom. And let's go to Psalm 16:11. In other words, it has its subjective influence on us. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now that's in the presence of God, right? And so there's a pleasantness, there's a peace that we find in fellowship with God. Unquestionably, that is included in this thought. And so an inward peace, not just the outward blessing, there's a whole lot more to life than that. So this is the blessing to the inner man as well as the outer man. Some people, all they're thinking about is the outer man. How's it going on the outside? Well, we need that inward fulfillment, that deep satisfaction of soul, which only the Lord can give. So that's wisdom and the blessings. Now let's go back to Proverbs 3. I've passed over a thought there in verse 17. Where it says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Let me quote Ironside on this. The ways that be in Christ, the ways into which the Word of God would guide the feet of the subject. So this is very objective, in other words. It's impossible to have that fellowship with God with a pleasantness and peace unless we're walking in His way. It's important, isn't it? John 14 bears that out. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And I'll manifest myself to him, he says. So it's always in the path of his will that he's going to draw near to us. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? And of course, Proverbs is a very practical book. Again, we're in the groundwork of Proverbs. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty where it talks about the practicality of wisdom. It's where the rubber meets the road in daily life. It's in that path. So it's not just the knowledge of the Lord, but it's the walk with the Lord that's going to find the pleasantness and peace that it's referring to here. Okay, one more verse here. In verse 18, he says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. She, wisdom, is a tree of life. And I'd like to consider... don't know if we have time to go to all these passages. You may recall if you were with us on Wednesday, and this is just about our Wednesday group and some others. In Revelation 2, you might remember the tree of life. Now, the tree of life was in the garden. That's that which man would partake of, and he wouldn't die. After he fell, God sent a cherubim there with a flaming sword turning every way to keep him from partaking of the tree of life and living in that fallen state. God has something higher in view. Well, Revelation 22, again, you have the tree of life. Now, that would be eternal life. And not just that, though. there's the fruit of that eternal life. So obtaining wisdom becomes a tree of life whose fruit contains and communicates the strength of that life. There's the fruit. You think of a tree, you're thinking of something that grows, right? Now you have eternal life in Christ, and then there's with the growth, you're going to have fruit, right? You're looking for something on that tree. And so let's compare some other passages. Proverbs 11, verse 30. Here's some practical applications of this tree of life. This would be the fruit that comes from it. 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, that seems to indicate that the fruit is souls. So you know the Lord, you're abiding in him. Well, you may win souls. So, but the fruit of the righteous, it's a tree of life. It's a tremendous thing. By the way, just one of those souls worth more than the whole world, according to the Bible. Let's go to Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Now that's the thought of hope being fulfilled. Now we have hope in Christ. Ultimately, we know we'll be fulfilled. Even in this life, though, you pray and you ask, you're anticipating, and when it's fulfilled, it's the fruit of that tree of life. And let's go to 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So, now think about it. There's all kinds of applications with that. A wholesome tongue is going to speak of Christ, and it may, again, win souls, but also it edifies saints, and it has a very favorable effect, a wholesome tongue. A tongue can tear down, or the tongue can greatly edify or bless. So there's the tree of life. It so not just speaks of eternal life, but speaks of the fruit that comes from it. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold upon her. There's life and there's the fruit thereof. Now let's go back. Does everybody have it? Those who lay hold upon her is the thought, and happy is everyone that retaineth her, or he who always holdeth her fast is blessed. Now, we started out with this thought of happy or blessed, and we saw it's one who has found wisdom, one who has gained understanding. Now, here, he goes back to this thought in summary somewhat, that he who always holdeth her fast is blessed. So, a person to know the full blessing of wisdom cannot hold her just in an intermittent way. And I realize that salvation is eternal and nothing can separate us from the love of God, but it's possible to have wisdom and then not to have wisdom in the sense of practical application in life. A case in point is Solomon himself, who wrote the book, right? He had wisdom in his earlier days and he feared God, and then later you see him turning aside to idolatry and through women deceived. And so there's a holding her fast, isn't there? And you want to do that to the end. And there's remember the thoughts of obtaining wisdom. You can't cease to apply those things, right? Where you keep on seeking, you keep on fearing God, you keep on not trusting yourself, you're trusting in the Lord and so forth. I'm not talking about salvation, because that ought to be very much settled with peace in our heart, and that is eternal, and that is a single transaction of God. And any other kind of teaching is getting into man's works, and that is a false gospel, isn't it? But we're talking about wisdom and knowing the practical effects of it, and so as they're holding to it, we're going to know the full blessing of it, right? So it's a great thing. And wisdom has great value. In conclusion this morning, especially as you consider that Christ is wisdom, a relationship with him is wisdom. That heart knowledge, personal, in a personal way, and you're walking with him, that is the epitome of wisdom. That's what has great value. You could put it this way: how well do you know the Lord? How close is our walk with him? Because that's wisdom. And so if we see it, then we want to obtain it, right? And we want to hold it fast. And with the valuing of it, there is a buying of it, as we've seen there. You want to buy the truth. There's a price to pay. Is there anything in our lives hindering the way to fully obtaining the wisdom? And so there's a choice to be made where it's a priority. And we certainly we can grow in these things. But God, over and over, He's showing us in this book, this is what's valuable. This is what you want. And not just from these statements and comparing wisdom with material wealth, but then showing us the blessings that flow from wisdom and that grow from wisdom, especially when you consider the spiritual blessings that there are in Christ. So how pleasant that is, how great that peace is, how much blessing there is to the outer and the inner man of the one who finds wisdom. And you can see the fruit of it. You know, a person who has wisdom, they've got something of a feast going on. He prepares a table before you, doesn't he? You've got fellowship. There's such a contentment that God can give, such a fulfillment and a deep satisfaction that God can give. So definitely in a personal way, it's a great blessing when we value wisdom. Father, how we thank Thee for this word, this book of Proverbs. We thank Thee for wisdom. We thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who personally is wisdom. And we ask, Father, bless Your Word to our hearts this morning. You know the needs of each heart here. And help us to value wisdom. Help us to grow in wisdom. Help us to be those who not only obtain it, but hold fast to it, and not being deceived by the world and the flesh and the devil and all that goes against us in this life. And we thank Thee for the truth. We pray, bless Your Word to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.